Well, friends, today is a fantastic day. Not only is it gorgeous outside, not only are we gathered for Mass, but we have some very important people among us, right in the front rows. So we have our young men and women who are receiving Jesus in the Eucharist for the very first time. That's awesome. I hope you guys are excited. There's someone who's really excited. She's ready. She's ready to rock. You should be. It's good. Their yes to Jesus today gives us a great chance to think about how we receive what St. John Paul II called the church's most priceless gift, inestimabile donum. He's speaking about Jesus in the Eucharist. How do we receive that great gift, the greatest of all gifts? I'll start with someone who's not Catholic, Ben Franklin. He said this, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." Don't forget tomorrow, April 15th, pay your taxes. Let me add a third thing. We've got death, we've got taxes, and what else is certain is that we have Catholics who take the Eucharist for granted. Because we do. Do you know that only 25% of people in America who say they are Catholic come to Mass on Sunday? 3 out of 4 don't come to Mass on Sunday. If we had everyone in Helena who said they were Catholic coming to Mass, we would need 7 or 8 Sunday Masses here at the cathedral. Let's not take this gift for granted. And let's certainly not do it today, because we have young hearts who are saying yes to our Lord for the first time in the Eucharist. Let's get into it by looking at today's gospel. So we have another appearance of the risen Lord to his disciples. Have you noticed, by the way, that they're often really startled by Jesus? It's almost as if the Lord likes to surprise them. He just appears out of nowhere, and they're like, oh my gosh, and there he is. And then he teaches them all the time. So first, he calms them down. Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? He has to calm their fears and reassure them. It's me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's I. Not a ghost. Give me a piece of fish to eat. But more importantly than just calming them or reassuring them, he has to open their minds. St. Luke writes, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." That's what the Lord wants to do for all of us, to open our minds, to understand the new way of being that he has established, the new reality that has been formed and inaugurated in the resurrection. Because the apostles and the disciples who are with them, they have to quit living as if the resurrection hadn't changed everything. And brothers and sisters, so do we. We have to quit living as if the resurrection hasn't changed everything. Now, I know, you could say, yeah, but the risen Lord doesn't just appear out of nowhere and show himself to me and give me direct contact with the reality of the resurrection. Fair enough. But to that, I'll go back to the lines that opened this gospel. The disciples who returned from Emmaus to say that they have seen the risen Lord share, and I quote, that Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The risen Lord is made known in the breaking of the bread. If you can't make the connection between what we do at Mass in the breaking of the bread and the experience of the risen Lord, then you need to go back to catechism class and start from almost the very beginning. Friends, the Eucharist is our connection to to the resurrection. It's how we experience it. Listen to what Jesus says in John 6. Amen, amen, I say to you, and amen, by the way, what we say when we receive our Lord means, so be it. Truly it is. So when the minister holds the Lord to you and says, the body of Christ, and you answer, amen, you are saying, I believe that. So it is. Jesus in John 6, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The blood and the body of Jesus given to us in the Eucharist brings eternal life. Jesus goes on, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. You see, the risen Lord doesn't just want his followers to see him. He wants to abide with them. He wants to enter into them. And so too with us. Much more than just seeing the risen Lord, Jesus wants to abide in us, to enter into our very lives. And so he made a way to do that. Love made a way. St. Thomas Aquinas describes it perfectly in one line. He says this, verbum caro verbo, panem verum carnem efficit. Perfect, let's move on. Okay, no, it's Latin. Okay, so what does that mean? The word made flesh by his word makes true bread flesh. The word made flesh, Jesus, by his word, Jesus' word is the word that created the universe out of nothing. God speaks his word, and there is light, and all of creation that follows, the all-powerful, all-creative word of God. Well, that word takes flesh and dwells among us, and it's by his word that what was once bread becomes his body. What was once wine becomes his blood. His true and real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, Jesus makes a way to be with us, to enter into us, to abide with us. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He made himself food. That's not just by chance, because food strengthens us, and it helps us grow. It strengthens us, and it helps us grow. The Eucharist strengthens us, and it helps us grow. It strengthens us because it is Jesus himself in the Eucharist who empowers us, who gives us his life and his virtues and his strength. And who he is, he pours himself into us so that we don't live by our own strength, but now we're empowered with him. Jesus, who acts within us. We don't have to do life on our own, but rather we're rooted and grounded in his love. He lives within us. And then the Eucharist causes us to grow. And grow how? The Eucharist makes us grow into the type of people who can be with God forever in heaven. That's what the Eucharist does. The Eucharist prepares us for heaven. Right now on this earth. To become the type of people who are substantial enough to be in the presence of the Almighty God, to live in radical communion with Him for all eternity. That's why today's a great day. To you young people, you're going to receive Jesus for the first time. It's one of the best days of your life because Jesus loves you and He wants to give Himself to you. He wants to strengthen you and to make you grow. And He wants to live within you in a way He's never been able to before. So today you should celebrate. That's why you're dressed up. It's a beautiful day, and we rejoice with you. And to the rest of us, let's see if we can't reclaim some of the wonder and the awe that some of these kids have. You know what I said earlier about Catholics taking the Eucharist for granted? I didn't just mean that for Catholics all over the place, throughout our nation. I meant that for our parish. We haven't had a young man ordained to the priesthood in this parish in over 25 years. That should bother you. It certainly bothers me. We have to do some things different, which means that we have to stop taking the Eucharist for granted. Pretty soon there won't be enough priests for you to just to come to Sunday Mass and receive Jesus. We have to do some things different. We, not just me, we have to stop taking the Eucharist for granted. And we'll stop taking the Lord for granted if we pray more. If we pray, each one of us, for a deeper awareness of the greatness of this gift, to look at Jesus again with fresh eyes. This isn't just another Mass. It's not just another Sunday. This is the Lord who comes to each one of us in the most personal way, who loves us so much that He made a way to live within us, to give us His grace and His love for the very real realities we all face. It couldn't be more personal. That's how much the Lord loves us. We have to pray to not receive Him haphazardly, absent-mindedly, but with awe and reverence and joy. St. Augustine says this: God in His omnipotence could not give more. In His wisdom, knew not how to give more. And in His riches, had not more to give than what He gives in the Eucharist. See, He gives everything to us in the Eucharist because He gives Himself. Brothers and sisters, in the face of such a great gift, what will we give in response?